Okay, so number two, Christmas with the shepherds. So, yes, we've got it there, great. So, and I think, you know, the purpose of doing this, often we try and crush the whole Christmas story into sort of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and so on, and it just becomes so familiar. So I think, as Lewis put it very well last week, I think what we're trying to do in this series is to help for us to recapture some of the wonder, some of the marvel that went with the Christmas story, because it's such a great story, but the problem is it's so familiar. So let's try and bring out a few things today. So the passage we're going to read, which is about the shepherds, if I just get my iPad working again, is in Luke chapter 2, verses 8. Let's come again. That's it, verses 8 to 20. And just feel free, if you haven't got a Bible, I'm just going to read it out to you. It's a very well-known passage. So we just heard in verses 1 to 7 that Jesus has been born in the manger. And then verse 8 says this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Okay, so we're talking about Christmas with the shepherds, and there's a few shepherds here, but actually there's an awful lot more angels in the passage than shepherds. So we're going to look at angels, and we're going to look at shepherds this morning, okay? So what do you think of when you think of angels? Let's have a look at the next slide. So here we go. So we have a nice, chubby infant cherub on the left-hand side. No matter what the weather, they always seem to wear very little clothing, apart from what covers off the essentials. So that's some view of the paintings. On the middle, we have here our own regional view of an angel in the Angel of the North in Gateshead. You'll all know that very well. And on the right-hand side, here we see an angel dressed in white with a couple of wings. And obviously they're protecting some children there, you know, like as a guardian angel would. So if you look at a lot of paintings and a lot of pictures, this is the sort of image you get of angels. And the question is this actually what the Bible says an angel looks like? So if we, and actually in the Bible, it talks a lot about angels. I wonder if you could think how many times it mentions angels in the Bible. 108 times in the Old Testament, 165 in the New Testament, which means it's increasing, actually. The amount of angelic work is increasing if you use that logic, because the New Testament is much shorter. But it's mentioned all the way through, right from Genesis through to Revelation, angels are there. So let's see what the Bible Well, before we do that, let's just look again at the shepherds. So I want to look at the two characters first. So we've got angels and we've got shepherds. Sorry, you probably won't be able to read that. I know it's too small. It's too small on my notes as well. So I'll read it off the screen. So shepherds were not the most popular people in the Jewish culture. They lived outside society. They actually lived with the sheep. As it said here, they lived in the fields. So they weren't part of the day-to-day society in the towns and the villages. And they were so unpopular and so untrusted that in those days, their testimony was not valid in court. So if they said something in court, it couldn't be treated as valid evidence. You might think the best sort of equivalent, and I don't mean to sort of a brush here, but you know, you could imagine sort of a traveller might be a similar sort of trade to the shepherds in those days. If you're going to launch something, perhaps your new iPhone and your Apple, you know, you get a few celebrities, you get a mammoth lot of technology and big screens behind you, you do a lot of Facebooking and Twittering, and you get a lot of important people. And yet, God chose to launch, if you like, to proclaim the birth of the Messiah to a few shepherds. Why on earth would you do that? Why on earth would you do that? And I think God always does things differently to the ways of this world. And you know the verses very well in 1 Corinthians 1:27. God chooses the weak, the lowly, and the foolish, rather than the wise, the clever, and the important. And why is that? Because he knows he can trust those people to proclaim something without taking the credit for themselves, so they wouldn't boast about it. Just think, if he'd sent this to a few of the Sanhedrin instead, you know, the top priests, they'd have said, wow, what a great revelation I've had. I've just seen a whole lot of angels. And yet these are people who didn't think they were particularly anyone important. God chose them to be his witness. And how ironic that those people who weren't valid in a Jewish court, God trusted to be valid testimony for him. Isn't that amazing? And just think as well, remember, Paul had amazing revelations as well, but it caused him enormous problem because it kept making him boastful. And what did he say? What did God have to do to keep him humble? A whole thorn in the flesh. And that was his problem. He was a clever guy, and he sometimes couldn't handle what God gave him because it made him proud. And yet here were some humble shepherds. The next thing is this. Bethlehem was only 4 miles from Jerusalem. That's Corbridge to Hexham, okay? Think about it. The same distance, Corbridge to Hexham, was how far Bethlehem was from Jerusalem. These sheep were very likely Passover lambs that they were looking after. Because if you remember, if you're traveling a long way to Jerusalem, you had to go and buy your own Passover lamb. So it's very likely that their job was to look after the Passover lamb. And one of their jobs, as you know, about Passover lambs, is that they had to be perfect. They weren't allowed to have any blemish. And one of the jobs of the shepherd was when newborn lambs, Passover lambs, were born, was to inspect them to make sure they were perfect. Because if they weren't, then actually they couldn't be a Passover lamb. So how apt that shepherds should be inspecting Jesus, the Passover lamb himself, and being the witness that he was the perfect Passover lamb who was coming into the world. Other reasons why the shepherds were involved? Well, they were born in the city of David, and David himself was the shepherd who became the king. And finally, I think as well, the other reasons why the shepherds came was because it was to help Mary and Joseph. I mean, they'd had all these marvelous promises. We'd heard about it last week, angels coming to them, and yet here they were. The baby was born when they were out somewhere away from home, on their own, nowhere to stay. Wouldn't you think, well, where's God now? Where are all his promises now? And yet these shepherds come and tell them what they've just seen about all these angels. It's going to get tough for Mary and Joseph. We'll find that out in later sessions. They're going to need all the encouragement, everything, you know, all these things. And it's not surprising, it says in this passage, that Mary was pondering and treasuring all these things. She was going to need it because they were going to have to run very quickly away into Egypt. You know, it was going to get tough for them in the first few years. What encouragement. So, why shepherds? So, that's angels, that's shepherds. So let's look a little bit about angels, and let's find out again what angels really do from a Bible perspective. And we have a good verse, you can't read it, but it's look in your Bibles, it's Hebrews 1:14, and it says this about angels. It says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" And there's three things here. First of all, they're spirits. They're heavenly things. They don't have bodies normally as such. Yeah? It's interesting, when people in the Bible get taken up to heaven, the creatures they say are very weird. This is where you get the wings from, but they had about 6 wings, but they also had about 4 faces and 100 eyes. But I mean, that's a different, you know, so they appear very strange. And sometimes you feel that the people who are writing it are trying to explain something that you can't describe. But when angels appear to people on earth, they appear in human form. So they're able to do that. So they're not male, they're not female as such, they're spirits. The second thing about angels is this, they are sent. They're here to do what God wants them to do. They have work to do. God tells them what to do, but they have free will. They could choose not to do it. We know that because some angels decided they didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. So we know that they have free will as well, but they choose, the good angels choose to do what God has sent them to do. So they're messengers. And the third thing is this, they're sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So actually, their job is to help us. Maybe you didn't realize that, but there are millions of angels whose job is to help us. And it says in the Bible that often angels help us and we don't even realize it. How many people here, if I mean, I won't ask everyone, but I'm going to ask the person who's been up all the time this morning anyway in a minute, who feel they've had an experience where an angel has helped them? Isn't that amazing? And probably the rest of you have as well, you just haven't realized it. I know Carol, I was talking to Carol before this, and she said once, you know, she had an experience when she'd been locked outside of her car in the middle of nowhere, and suddenly 2 people appeared and just helped her and went. Judith, you're going to, I know you haven't done much this morning, you're just going to give a quick example from you as well, yeah?
Thank you, Carol, for dobbing me in. When I was 16, I went on holiday with 2 of my sisters and 1 of their friends, and we went to Cornwall. And we went to a beautiful beach called Perranporth. I don't know if any of you have been, which is a really wide, beautiful, big beach. And we decided to do some bodyboarding. Now, in those days, which was a while ago, they were like the polystyrene boards. Do you remember those that you do boogieing on? Anyway, so we had been all morning, we'd rented these boards, and we were all morning, we'd been sort of in and out and had great fun laughing away. So we came back in, we had our lunch, and decided to go back out again to do a little bit more before we handed our boards back. So I just remember getting in the sea, and there were quite a few of us all going in together, and we were laughing because it was sort of quite choppy. which didn't scare me at the time. It probably would now. Anyway, so we were just kind of swimming out, and I suddenly realized that my board was a little bit ahead of me, that I'd sort of let go of it. So I started swimming after it to try and get hold of it. And I suddenly thought, where's everybody gone? And I turned round, and I was so far out of shore. I had just been completely, I mean, everyone was that little, I could see. So I left the board, and I started trying to swim and make my way back. And I was trying so hard to get back, but because the current was pulling me out, all I was doing was staying where I was. Now, I know how much of a force that was, because I was wearing a bikini that had some beads, and after this event, I was bruised where the beads had been sort of like pushed against me, because that was the force there was. Out of nowhere, this is where the angel comes in, out of nowhere came a man who was, I remember him raising his hand and saying, help, help, and he was coming towards me, and I was like, don't come towards me. Can't even save myself. I'm trying to get in, please. I can't save you. And I don't actually remember much more, and it was obviously a bit of a petrifying experience, but what I do remember is being carried in, like he had an arm here, and dragging me in to shore. And he literally dropped me and said, are you okay? And I said, yes. And off he went and disappeared. And I remember trying to find my sister to tell her what had happened. And I eventually found her, and she was looking out. She wasn't interested at all. And I was like, I just nearly drowned, and trying to tell her the story. And she was still looking for her friend who had also been swept out. A few of us, I think, had been swept out. And it took 5 lifeguards to save her. She had gone under several times, but they did manage to save her. But that was my story.
Angels are good. Angels are powerful. So do we have guardian angels? This is a good question. A couple of verses might suggest that. You know, for children, there's a verse in Matthew 18, verse 10, that says, their angels always see my face in heaven. And of course, in Jewish culture, until you'd had your bar mitzvah about 12, 13, then children weren't seen to be accountable. Do you know what I mean? So it makes sense that angels were there. There's another very interesting verse. There's one of these verses that I wish wasn't there, but it is there in Acts 12, 15, that when Peter is knocking on the door, you know, having been released by an angel out of heaven, and no one will believe it's him. And the servant girl is trying to convince them that it's Peter, and the apostles say, oh, no, it must be his angel. But I don't know, I'm not convinced by that. I mean, to my point, it's not really important. God said, I will be with you and I will never leave you. Whether he does that through a guardian angel, you know, God's always never going to leave me anyway. So anyway, sometimes I think that jury's out on whether we have, there's lots enough angels, but whether we have one each, don't know. Okay, so let's get down to what the angels actually said to the shepherds. So what did the angels say? Don't be afraid. As we've seen, angels are powerful. Some angels will do a lot of damage when God wants them to do a lot of damage. So not surprising that they were terrified when an angel of the Lord, who is shining the glory of the Lord upon them, you know, would be terrified. But what does the angel say? The angel says, I bring you good news. Not everyone. He's speaking to the shepherds. Specifically for you, shepherds, I'm bringing you good news. What a tremendous thing to these people. Us? You're bringing us good news, not just for the important people, not just for the rulers and the leaders. And the good news is this, that God's going to bring great joy to all the people. Not great riches, not great fame, not great success, but great joy. And the joy is going to come because there's going to be a Savior who's going to save them and allow them to know God as their Father. not something you can buy, not something you can negotiate, but something which is going to be available for all people. A savior has been born. Now, of course, in those days, Israel was occupied by the Romans. Whether they thought a savior was going to save them from the Romans, don't know. Whether from their sins, don't know. But the thing is, just to back this up, then, God arranges for the gospel choir to come alongside the angel of the Lord. And this is like, it's so rare. Don't you know, in the Old Testament, I can only think, and someone will tell me, one other time when a whole lot of angels suddenly appeared. Normally it's only one, or maybe two or three. Who can tell me the other time when a whole lot of other angels appeared to man? Elisha and his servant, when he said, "Who's on our side?" And suddenly he sees all the chariots of fire and the angels on the hill. But it's so rare. So this was such a big event for heaven to send the whole company of hosts of angels. And they probably said, when God said to them, "Look, I'm going to send you out here. Who are we going to? It must be important. There's lots of us." "Well, you're going to a few shepherds." Yeah? "You're going to proclaim this to a few shepherds. They're going to be the people who are going to share this news to everyone." But the gospel choir appeared, and they declared the news. I mean, that's something you're not going to forget. I mean, this is something that you're not going to forget, and the shepherds didn't forget it. So what did the shepherds do? This is our last slide here. So the shepherds believed what the angels had told them. They acted immediately. They said, "Let's go to Bethlehem straight away and see and check this out." Who looked after the sheep? I have no idea. Have to look after themselves. They searched and they found Jesus in a manger. And they spread the news. How do you think they felt to be selected by God for this special purpose? Isn't it true that God takes those who the world doesn't value to do his most valuable work? And today, Jesus isn't a baby in that manger, but Jesus is the risen, resurrected Son of God seated at the right hand of God the Father. But our response to that needs to be the same as the response as the shepherds to that message from the angels. Do we believe that's what Jesus is today? Do we believe that that's what God requires of us? And if we do believe that, then actually we should act straight away. We shouldn't delay. I mean, those shepherds didn't say, "Well, let's wait for a couple of days and see what happens. See if it happens again." They acted straight away. And if you genuinely want to find Jesus and you look for him, you will find him. And you will find that promise of him being the Savior, the Lord, who will help you. And you will discover that great joy from knowing God. And you will find that it is good news. And that's our response today. So let's just pray. Father, I just want to thank you that the story of the shepherds shows you how you can use anyone and everyone for your purposes. What's important isn't how clever we are, how important we are, how rich we are, but what's important is that we believe what you tell us and we act obediently. Lord, forgive us when pride so much gets us in the way of us doing your stuff. And thank you, Lord, that your ways are not man's ways. But Lord, that means that it's good news for all people. No one is too far away to be saved by you. And Lord, thank you that you love us so much. Amen.